Chapter 8. What is an irrevocable trust? If a trust once established cannot be revoked by the trustor, it is an irrevocable trust. Usually the terms of an irrevocable trust cannot be changed by the trustor, but the agreement can reserve to the trustor or assign to others certain powers. An example of a reserved power is to reserve to the trustor the power to apportion gifts to grandchildren by his or her last will and testament. There is another important distinction between living trusts and irrevocable trusts. The latter are treated as separate entities for tax purposes and for purposes of liability. This means, 1, that the trustee of an irrevocable trust must file tax returns on behalf of the trust estate, and 2, the assets of the trust are not available to creditors of the trustee or the trustor. With respect to a living trust, the assets still belong to the trustor for tax purposes, and the assets in the trust are fully available to the creditors of the trustor. If too much power is reserved to the trustor by a trust agreement, the IRS will treat the trust as revocable for tax purposes. If too much power is reserved to the trustor, the law may consider the trust revocable for purposes of liability of the trustor. Therefore, powers reserved to the trustor or trustors in a trust agreement must be carefully considered. Therefore, powers reserved to the trustor or trustors in a trust agreement must be carefully considered. Because an irrevocable trust cannot be revoked, and because the changes the trustor or anyone else can make to the trust are limited to those specified in the trust agreement as reserved powers, most people in the middle class don't use them. Generally, we in the middle class don't have the kind and amount of assets that we can separate from ourselves before our death. The two notable exceptions are a special needs trust, SNT, and an irrevocable life insurance trust, ILIT, or ILIT. The former is used to provide for someone with special needs that is entitled to public benefits and might lose those benefits if gifts were made directly to that beneficiary. The latter is used to fund large life insurance policies and to prevent the death benefit from being included in the estate of the person whose life is insured or sometimes his or her spouse's estate. It is important to note that the death benefit of life insurance is income tax-free, but not estate tax-free. The death benefit proceeds of life insurance become part of the estate of the owner of the policy, no matter who the beneficiary of the policy is. Thus, an ILIT is used to keep the death benefit out of the estate of the decedent and or the decedent's spouse. Why? Let us offer an example. Let's assume Harry dies in 2012 with $1 million in assets. The first million of his estate is exempt from estate tax. It goes to his heirs estate tax-free. If Harry bought a policy that provided a death benefit of $500,000, close to 55% of that benefit would be lost to estate tax if Harry owned the policy at the time of his death. But if he gifted the premium to an ILIT that bought and owned the policy, all $500,000 would be paid into the ILIT upon Harry's death, and all of the proceeds would be distributed to his heirs under the terms of the trust. The amount paid in taxes would be zero. The former is used to provide for someone with special needs that is entitled to public benefits and might lose those benefits if gifts were made directly to that beneficiary. You need only be concerned with an ILIT if the death benefit of the insurance will push the value of your estate above the estate tax exemption amount. Without a properly structured ILIT, the death benefit will be chargeable to your estate if you own the policy at the time of death. In point of fact, most people who are middle class do not own large death benefit life insurance policies that are in force upon their death. Most middle class people own some term insurance during certain times of their life, or perhaps whole or universal life, but let the coverage lapse long before death. This makes the business of insuring people's lives very profitable. If you have either of these situations for which irrevocable trusts are commonly used by middle class families, you may want to consult an attorney familiar with these. But the documents provided for the middle class at www.yourlivinglegacy.info do allow for basic special needs provisions. People with big money find all sorts of uses for irrevocable trusts. But that topic is beyond the scope of this book, too.